lotus feet of Lord Nityananda are a shelter where one will get the soothing moonlight, not only of one, but of millions of moons. If the world wants to have real peace, it should take shelter of Lord Nityananda. Unless one takes shelter under the shade of the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, it will be very difficult for him to approach Radha Krishna. If one actually wants to enter into the dancing party of Radha Krishna, he must firmly catch hold of the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda. Anyone who has not established his relationship with Nityananda Prabhu is understood to have spoiled his valuable human birth. Such a human being is actually an uncontrollable animal. Because he never uttered the name of Nityananda, he has become merged into so-called material happiness. What can his useless education and family tradition do to help him? Being maddened after false prestige and identification with the body, one is thinking, oh, what is Nityananda? What can he do for me? I don't care. The result is that he is accepting something false to be truth. If you actually want to approach the association of Radha Krishna, you must first achieve the mercy of Lord Nityananda. When he is merciful toward you, then you will be able to approach Radha Krishna. Therefore, you should firmly grasp the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda. The lotus feet of Nityananda are not illusion, they are fact. One who engages in the transcendental loving service of Nityananda is also transcendental. Always try to catch the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda. This Narottam Das is very unhappy. Therefore, I am praying to Lord Nityananda to make me happy. My dear Lord, please keep me close to your lotus feet. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. This is a very nice song sung by Narottam Das Thakur. He advises that Nitai Pada Kamala, the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, Kamala means lotus and Pada means feet, are a shelter where one will get the soothing moonlight, not only of one, but of millions of moons. We can just imagine the aggregate total of the soothing shine of millions of moons. I'm reminded to turn my cell phone off just in case. Oh, good. Okay. I have that also. Great. Thank you. In this material world, Jagat, which is progressing toward hell, there is always a blazing fire and everyone is struggling hard without finding peace. Therefore, if the world wants to have real peace, it should take shelter under the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, which are cooling like the shining of millions of moons. Judaya means relief. If one actually wants relief from the struggle of existence and actually wants to extinguish the blazing fire of material pangs, Narottam Das Thakur advises, please take shelter of Lord Nityananda. What will be the result of accepting the shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda? He says, Heno Nitai Bine Bai. Unless one takes shelter under the shade of the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, Radha Krishna Paite Nai, it will be very difficult for him to approach Radha Krishna. The aim of this Krishna consciousness movement is to enable us to approach Radha Krishna and associate with the Supreme Lord in his sublime pleasure dance. Narottam Das Thakur advises that if one actually wants to enter into the dancing party of Radha Krishna, he must accept the shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda. Then he says, Se sambandha nahi jar, britta janma gelo tara. Sambandha means connection or contact. Anyone who has not contacted a relationship with Nityananda is understood to have spoiled his human birth. In another song, Narottam Das simply says, Hari Hari Bipale Janama Gonainu. Anyone who does not approach Radha Krishna through relationship with Nityananda has uselessly spoiled his life. Brita means useless. Janama means life. Tad means his, and sambandha means a relationship. Anyone who does not make a relationship with Nityananda is simply spoiling the boon of his human form of life. Why is he spoiling it? She Pashu Bodha Durachar. She means that, Pashu means animal, and Durachar means misbehaved, or the most misbehaved. Without elevation to Krishna consciousness through the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda, life is simply spoiled for the animal propensities of sense gratification. Narottam Das says that ordinary animals can be tamed, but when a human being is animalistic, having only animal propensities, he is most horrible, for he cannot be tamed. Ordinary cats and dogs, or even a tiger, can be tamed, but when a human being goes out of his way and neglects to take the human activity of Krishna consciousness, his higher intelligence will simply be misused for animal propensities, and it is very difficult to tame him. The enactment of state laws cannot make a thief an honest man. Because his heart is polluted, he cannot be tamed. Every man sees that a person who commits criminal offenses is punished by the government, and also in scriptural injunctions, punishment in hell is mentioned. But despite hearing from scripture and seeing the action of the state laws, the demoniac cannot be tamed. What are they doing? Nitai no bolilo muke. Since they do not know who Nityananda is, they never say the names of Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya. Majilo shamsara suke. Majilo means becomes absorbed. They become absorbed in so-called material enjoyment, and therefore they go down into material existence. Bhityakule ke koribetad. If one has no connection with Nityananda, and if he does not come to Krishna consciousness, his vidya, or his so-called academic education, and kula, birth in a high family or great nation, will not protect him. Regardless of whether one is born in a very big family or nation, or has a very advanced academic education, at the time of death, nature's law will act. His work will be finished, and he will get another body according to that work. Why are these human beings acting in this way? Ahankare mata hoilo nitai pada pasharira. They have become maddened by a false concept of bodily life, and thus they have forgotten their eternal relationship with Nityananda. Asatyare refers to that which is not a fact, or in other words, maya. Maya means that which has no existence but is a temporary illusion only, which, like the material body, although it's useful, the human form of life, it's so temporary. We take so much time to maintain it throughout life, and then all you have to do is let it go for about a week, and it'll just fall apart completely. It's that temporary that, you know, you could spend your whole life being a very fit athlete, eating all the right food, spending millions of dollars to have the right nutrition and advice and everything like that. But if you just stop taking care of it for a few days, actually, it'll, you know, revert into the material elements by the non-conglomerating process and just fall apart. I was thinking about that last night, about how quickly the body deteriorates. So it's asatyari, it's non-permanent. But still, why do I take so much trouble for it? You know, all the time taking care of the body. So Nityananda Prabhu can save us from that folly of simply maintaining the body throughout our life and then being disappointed that actually it wasn't us after all. It just falls apart. Maya means that which has no existence but is a temporary illusion only. Persons who have no contact with Nityananda accept this illusory body as factual. Narottam Das Thakur then says, Nityayer karuna habe braje Radha Krishna pade. If you actually want to approach the association of Radha Krishna, you must achieve the mercy of Lord Nityananda first. When he is merciful toward you, then you will be able to approach Radha Krishna. Daro nitai charana dukhani. Narottam Das advises that one firmly catch the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda. Then he says, Nityayer charana satya. One should not misunderstand and think that as he has caught hold of Maya, similarly the lotus feet of Nityananda may also be something like that Maya or illusion. Therefore, Narottam Das confirms, Nityair Charana Satya, the lotus feet of Nityananda are not illusion, they are fact. Tahar Sevak Nitya, and one who engages in the transcendental loving service of Nityananda and Krishna consciousness, he immediately achieves his transcendental position on the spiritual platform, which is eternal and blissful. Therefore, he advises, Nitai Pada Shada Koro Ash, always try to catch the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda. Narottamo Bhadotuki. Narottam Das Thakur, the Acharya, is taking the position that is very unhappy. Actually, he is representing ourselves. He says, my dear Lord, I am very unhappy. Nitai More Koro Suki. Therefore, I am praying to Lord Nityananda to make me happy. Rako Ranga Charanena Pash. Please keep me in a corner of your lotus feet. This is a song that Srila Prabhupada commented on frequently, especially on the appearance day of Lord Nityananda. There was a couple of lectures that he gave on this verse. And mostly he emphasizes the essence of the song, how by taking shelter of the material body, we become more and more morose, and ultimately we lose everything. And Prabhupada once gave, in a conversation, he gave an analogy to a couple of businessmen that had come to see him. He said that this material life and all of its calculations is just like if you invest in the stock market in the morning and then the stock goes way up. There's some news, and then the stock goes up from $1 to $1,000, and you become a billionaire within a short amount of time. And then you become very happy and start making all kinds of plans. And then by evening time, you get another call from your stockbroker who says, that actually the company's, they made a few mistakes, they found some discrepancies, the CEO was arrested, and now this stock is useless. So basically you've lost everything. So he said no matter what progress we make in this life, that it'll all end up coming back down to zero again from the material side. So an intelligent person doesn't put so much stake in that. So he was speaking to some businessmen who were very much absorbed in making calculations of how to make proper investments and such. Hare Krishna. And this applies to this song. He's saying that if we take shelter of this body and the temporary things here, no matter what kind of profit we get, we have to give it all back. We lose it all. But Nityananda Prabhu, his lotus feet, Nitai Pada Kamala, actually, by a little investment in spiritual life, taking shelter of Nityananda Prabhu, then we become happy. And whatever we gain there, we never lose. Krishna says, Nihapikramanasho sti pratyavayo nabhidite swapamakyasya dharmasya trayate mahatopaya. There's a great danger of coming to this lifetime and then taking it for granted and just thinking that everything's given to us and I'll never die, and not taking advantage. And we can fall back down again from this platform, the human form of life, back into the animal species, actually, by the law of transmigration. Material nature doesn't discriminate, and it doesn't care who he's dealing with. Just like if you break the law, you have to pay the fine. And you'll be summarily, you know, like if you're driving your car too fast, you'll be pulled over. And the highway patrolman, he doesn't discriminate so much. He'll just write the ticket and hand it to you. And he doesn't really discriminate. Who's in his material nature is like that. It's going on as like a machine. And we have to be careful while we're here in this material world. Anything that we do that will be retrograde or that will implicate us more, we'll have to suffer the reactions of that. So Nityananda Prabhu and his associates are giving great opportunity to take to the variety of the spiritual world by the process of bhakti yoga, shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu smaranam, hearing and chanting, engaging in devotional service in 9 different ways. And then by a little bit of advancement in that way and taking shelter of Nityananda Prabhu, then actually we can experience happiness even amidst the problems of this material world. What are the main problems in this material world? Are there any problems? Yes? You named 4 of the 4 big ones, 4 big categories right off the top.
I was going to say death.
Birth, death, old age. So death can be problematic. It's a very drastic kind of measure, dying. We were at a memorial service yesterday for one of our god brothers who passed away, and it certainly, first of all, sheds new light on life when you see a friend die, because then you realize, oh, I never actually even saw him. When someone leaves their body, then also business as usual ceases. Everything changes immediately. It's very drastic. Death. So what else you said? Birth, death, old age, disease? Problematic? Anywhere you go in the material world, Krishna says, from the highest planet down to the lowest planet, you'll find these things common everywhere. Doesn't matter, you know, what city you go to or what place or how much money you have, you still have to, you're still subjected to birth, death, old age, and disease. What about old age? Young people here can't comment so much. I can start to comment now. Old age is very problematic, right? It's one just because we've been talking about it, and you know, when I never thought about it so much when I was young. When Prabhupada talked about old age, I thought, well, that's a long way off. But now I'm starting to see how it's not a long way off, because I'm seeing that people around me are growing old. My parents have grown old, and very problematic. Even though they wanted to remain healthy and do whatever they want. You know, move around at free will. When you get old, you can't do all of those things. It's very difficult. It's a very trying situation. And you can, if you don't have somebody around you, too, when you become old, practically become helpless, become like a little child. So death is problematic. Old age is problematic. How is birth problematic?
Dependent on your parents.
You're dependent on your parents?
Not for your parents.
Problematic for your parents? It's a painful process. And, you know, growing up, too, is not an easy thing. When you're a little infant, you're completely helpless. And then, you know, the whole process of just growing up and learning how to do everything, practically, you know, years later, 16 years, 20 years, and you're still trying to find yourself in the world and become socialized. It's not an easy thing. Birth, death, old, and disease, of course. Who can name a disease that starts with the letter A? Okay. Any other A? Alzheimer's, AIDS, what else?
Asthma.
Asthma.
Arthritis.
Arthritis. What? Arrhythmia?
Arteriosclerosis.
Okay, what else? Anybody move with the name?
That's just A.
Anorexia.
Anorexia? Huh?
Diabetes.
Diabetes starts with a D, but we'll get to that one. Okay. How about a B? Anyone with a B?
Blood pressure.
Blood pressure? Okay. Well, hopefully you have some blood pressure. It's too high or too low, huh?
Bulimia.
Bulimia?
What's
that? Botulism?
Same like anorexia.
Baldness.
What else? diseases start with a B?
So many types of diseases.
B? So many types, that doesn't start with a B. B? Come on, Seth. Yeah.
Bronchitis.
Okay. How about with a C?
Cancer.
Cholera.
Cataracts. D, okay. Diabetes. What else?
Dengue.
What is it?
Dengue
fever. It comes from mosquitoes. What else?
Diarrhea.
Everyone's smiling. This is fun.
Dysentery.
Diarrhea. It goes on and on. You go to the E's, E's, E's. I don't know any Z's, but I'm sure there is something out there. But if you go through every letter in the alphabet, if we actually had an encyclopedia, we could really go through and find them all, and we'd be here all night. There's a lot of diseases. There's birth, death, old age, disease, and all its concomitant problems. One of the problems is the cure. Prahlad Maharaj says that the cure is worse than the disease itself. Oftentimes, you go for a cure, and something happens. There was a story a while back. Someone was slated to have an amputation, and they made a mistake, and they amputated the wrong leg. These problems, these things go on in the material. Well, we're not guaranteed in any second. Anything can happen. Any disease can come. Old age is certain, along with your birth. Krishna says death is certain. Whatever we work for temporarily that we collect here, Satyadev Prabhu was telling me that most people die broke because they spend a lot of time accumulating wealth in this life. And then at the end of life, most people need help medically. And until you spend all your own money, then Medicare and Medi-Cal don't kick in. You don't get help from anywhere else. So most people, and that's really, you can spend your money really fast that way. $250,000 you could spend in a couple months or something.
Even they say about the last 3 weeks.
The last 3 weeks, you can spend all your, whatever you've accumulated throughout your life. Asatyari, yeah.
90% of medical expenses in the last 3 days of life.
90% of your medical expenses come in the last 3 days of your life. How did you know that? You've heard it somewhere. So, this is consistent with the story of that Prabhupada told about, you invest, stock goes up, it goes back down again, and this is the temporary nature of this world that you can't keep. We can't keep what we get, and we're constantly being troubled. The most intelligent student came to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sanatana Goswami, and he was saying that I'm subjected to so many miseries. He noted adiatmic, adipotic, and adidaitic miseries. Those caused by my own body and mind, those caused by other living entities, and those caused by higher forces that we can't control. You build whole cities and it takes so much trouble. I was thinking how much trouble it takes to build just one house or a building and everything. I had to do some remodeling on my house a couple of years ago, and it was unlimited trouble just to do one room. I had to spend so much time making decisions, this, that, drywall over here, over there. And right, you just had it done at your house. Very difficult to go through. And the whole civilization is made up of all these buildings we have. But all those things, eventually, they all just crumble away. Or they can be knocked down within a few seconds. Powerful material nature comes. So typically, sadhus don't take so much trouble to, make all these material arrangements to live in a nice house or a building. When I went to visit my friend up in Folsom Hills Lake about 10 years ago, they were just building a whole community up there. It was a kind of a high-end suburban area. And the house next to them, they'd been building and building for about 6 months. And there was a huge addition to the house. And it was about as big as a Kmart on this one house. And I said, "What is that?" And they said, "It's a gymnasium." And I said, "How many people live there in that family?" He said, "Just two." So that's been in life. That's it. Nobody else, but a gigantic house and it takes so much space and trouble to live in those places. So all these arrangements, they're temporary and they can be taken away at any time. All the arrangements that we have for our body, in any second, we may have to give them back, whatever we've accumulated. We don't know. In any minute, we can give them back. So this song is pointing this out, that we shouldn't put stock in those things. We should see the difference between the body and the self. And the power to do that comes from Lord Nityananda. This is the point. Lord Nityananda gives us the power to understand. He is the direct expansion of the Supreme Personality of God in Himself. And God is all merciful. He comes in that form of Nityananda to give us instruction, actually. He manifests as the spiritual master. He also manifests within the heart as the Chaitya Guru, or the guru who instructs us from within the heart. And he's always giving us attention. As Gajendra said in his prayers when he was offering, he was in a helpless position. He was being attacked by a crocodile. This is another good example given in the Srimad Bhagavatam about material life, how Gajendra was the king of the elephants. He lived on a heavenly planet. And he was being followed by many other elephants. Huge herds of elephants followed him wherever he went. He had many wives. And it was a beautiful spring day on the heavenly planets near Trichakoot Mountain. And the air was scented with all these different kinds of flowers because the breezes were blowing in cross-directional ways. And he was enjoying. He was a little intoxicated and he was walking along with all of his followers and he felt like taking a bath in the lake. So he went in, as elephants like to do, in the water and started using his trunk to bathe all his family members. Some great labor. And then he was bathing himself and he was thinking, life is good. It's like someone, they get a new car and they have a bank balance and they're driving along and they're thinking, oh, life's fine, everything's okay. Life's good. And then, just as he was at the height of his happiness, crocodile bit onto his leg. And this is the way material life goes. We don't know at any second what's going to pop up in this material nature. It's a dangerous place. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a whole chapter called The Forest of Material Enjoyment, which describes how when we come to this world, the material world, to try to enjoy, try to find some fortune and happiness here, it's like a man who enters the forest. It's an unknown place. And there's an ominous sign that says, enter at your own risk when you're going in. And so we don't know what will happen or how, you know, how we'll be affected. Everyone thinks tomorrow will be about the same as it was today. This is our expectation. But it's not like that. Prabhupada pointed out when he was coming on the Jaladuta across the ocean, this big ship, that it can be really calm and beautiful and the water's glassy and you're flying along. And then 2 hours later, there's a gigantic storm, and the boat is being tossed on these waves. 2 hours later, on the ocean, it comes up that quickly. Sometimes in the mountains, it's like that too. It'd be very clear, calm, and all of a sudden, there's a huge storm. So Prabhupada said, this is Maya. This is the material world. 1 second, we're on glassy water, everything's fine, and the next second, we're being tossed and turned. So Gajendra, he was enjoying, and then all of a sudden he was struggling for his life. And he was being pulled down into the water by a crocodile. And the crocodile's not as strong as the elephant on land, but in the water the crocodile is more powerful than the elephant. And so they went on struggling like that, back and forth, for 100 years, celestial years. And sometimes Gajendra almost pulled back onto the land and then the crocodile would pull him back in. And you know that second when you give up, when you realize that I may go under here? Has anybody ever had that experience? Where you feel like you've had that experience? Where you feel like I might die? You know, we don't think of that very often in normal consciousness. You know, when we're making a piece of toast or making a waffle, you're looking at the waffle light thing. When's the waffle light going to turn red, you know, and get my waffle? We're not thinking I could die at any second. But sometimes those things come, right? And then we realize everything can be lost, whatever I have. And what am I going to do now? In an instant, we realize our precarious position. And practically nothing matters that we had thought mattered before. Everything changes, right? You had that experience? Do you want to tell us about it? You don't have to. Maybe very personal. Anyway.
No, it was... I don't know if it was a good
thing. If he's going to tell us, I wouldn't hear it on the microphone.
Is this supposed to be hooked up?
This was in Mayapur, actually. Nanda. Forget the guy, but it was, the water didn't look so deep. So I just thought I can at least take two steps. But the problem was there was no bank. It was just... And the current was very strong. So even before I realized that the second step, there was no place where I could put, so actually I fell inside the water. And I was taken away by the current. And at that point, you know, I just didn't know what to do. I was just struggling for my life. So, like a tourist, just die on the spot. But somehow, you know, there was some devotee who was swimming in the opposite direction, and he just pushed me over to the current.
Wow.
So,
an outside force. Prabhupada mentions that in the 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, how if you're drowning, you know, if someone comes to save you, they're the greatest savior, because you can't save yourself at that point.
Yes. So that was really like a life-changing experience.
Wow. Just hearing it affected me. I remember once when I was hiking with my father when I was a little kid. We were way up in the mountains. And I was eating it. A lozenge, you know, like a hard candy as we were hiking along. We were way out in the wilderness. I think it was out in Wyoming. We used to go backpacking. And I was walking behind him, and I had this lozenge in my mouth, and we had these big backpacks on, and he was in front of me, and I stepped in a hole, and it jarred the lozenge back into my throat, and I couldn't breathe. But I also couldn't call out either because... You know, he was in front of me, and I didn't have my voice. I was like that, you know. And so I started slapping my arms really hard on my legs. And somehow he heard me, and he turned around, and he saw me, like, flapping my arms. So he threw off my backpack, and he picked me up by my ankles, and the lozenge came out. But in an instant, I felt, you know, it came in my consciousness that I can die right here. Was out in the wilderness, and if I'd been by myself, I probably would have. Yeah.
I actually
give him the mic. I want to hear this.
It's not that big. I fell unconscious when I was being choked once. Actually, somebody choked me until unconsciousness, and then it was pretty interesting. Actually, I had this experience. It was maybe just like a few seconds, but you see like this whole, you know, I don't know if it's the past or the future or something, but you see just these flashes, like. Movies like going really quick, just like in milliseconds, you know, whole thing, you know, whole experiences, and then I woke up again. It was it was pretty cool. I thought maybe I could have died, and then the person who choked me, he was pretty scared too.
It was just playing around, and then you almost
died.
Oh, good. I'm glad it was playing around. There was a guy the other day, just in Burlingame, when I was walking by. They were doing construction at the train station, and. He leaned against a wire fence there, and somehow in the construction site, they had left a bare wire, and it was touching the fence way down on the other side, and the whole fence was electrified. So when he touched it, he was knocked out instantly. There was a big flash of light. I actually saw it. And then the ambulances came, and the fire engines and everything like that. And next day, I read in the paper how when they woke him up again, he had thought he had been hit by a train. But you don't know. You can grab a fence or you can anything. You know, at any second, this life can go away. It can come suddenly or it can come, you know, as news that we have to give up the body.
you know, we might get some news that you're very sick. And, you know, it's difficult also. We're in a precarious position in the body because we're so intimately related with thinking we're the body that it's difficult also leaving the body. Bhakti Tirtha Swami was saying that, you know, when to decide that, okay, give up the fight. Because, you know, you can fight when you have some disease and then overcome it, right? And then get healthy again and live to fight another day. Or, you know, you can come to the point where you can't fight this anymore and you give up and you just start doing your bhajan, right? So coming to that point, very difficult. When Jayananda Prabhu left this world, of course, you know, he was a very saintly, self-realized person, but other devotees were mostly pushing him, go try this, go try that, to see if you could overcome the cancer and everything like that. He went to Mexico and tried a few things. But it's very difficult because, you know, the tendency is to try to stay in the body as long as possible. And we should. We should try to preserve our life so that we can use this lifetime to cultivate Krishna consciousness. But there's no doubt that it's temporary. Asyatyari, you know, in any second, it can go. It's very delicate also. So in this song, the author is saying a very simple thing. It's just don't take shelter here in the material world. Don't put your... Jesus said it. He said, don't invest here in this world. Invest in your real home, in the spiritual world. You know, make that kind of investment because you'll be really disappointed with the investment in this world. So Nityananda Prabhu, he is the representative of Krishna. And by taking shelter of him, it means Nitya Ananda, then you can always be happy. Not like in material happiness where, you know, your happiness is at the cost of somebody's unhappiness. Or that you're happy 1 second and then another second, then what you thought was happiness, then you become unhappy. Oftentimes, as in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Chitraketu was a great king, but he couldn't get any offspring. For a king, that's the worst thing, because kings, they want succession. They want a son to carry on the dynasty. And he couldn't get any offspring, even though he had many, many wives. So he got a benediction from a great sage. And the sage told him, I'll give you a benediction that you can have a son, but he's going to be called Harshashok. He's going to be the cause of your happiness, but also your great lamentation also. And the king thought, I can balance that out. I can digest that. Because really, isn't it true that anybody has a son or a kid? You know, there's a little unhappiness that goes along with it. You have to tolerate for a while, you know, raising a kid. And, you know, you can't sleep at night for a long time. And, you know, who knows, they might disobey me a little bit or something like that. So, of course, there's a little unhappiness. But he warned him. He said there'll be happiness and distress. So when he had the child, one of his queens had the child because she was given this special potion from the sage. And then she was able to get pregnant. And she had the child, and all the other queens became envious that they hadn't had a child and that they were going to not get the kind of treatment that they had hoped and so on. So in a moment of sort of madness, they conspired and they poisoned the child, sort of out of envy. And this child had become the center of the lives of the king and queen, Chitraketu and his wife. And when the nursemaid was there and she came in and saw the child was dead, he was obviously dead. He was lying in such a way that his eyes were rolled back and he was not breathing and such. It was obvious. She wailed out loud. And the king heard that wailing and he came running in. And the queen also came in. And they were so distraught when they found out what had happened that they couldn't stay conscious. And the Bhagavatams explain that by identifying with the material world and the happiness here, that the so-called happiness in this material world, there's that we suffer so much that we cry and cry and cry. And this is, Bhagavatam says that there's an ocean, actually, in this world. An ocean. And what's it made of? It's made of the tears of the crying living beings here who are suffering so much for one reason or another. Everyone cries during their lifetime many, many times for so many things. And so that all that crying, poetically it's said that it's filling up an ocean. And we've been here birth after birth after birth after birth after birth trying to find some happiness in this world. In fact, Satyadev Prabhu was telling me when he was traveling in Thailand in some hotel, there was a Buddhist book, and it was explaining how if we took the many lifetimes that we've taken in this world, according to scripture, you know, billions, trillions, unlimited lifetimes, anadi karmas, it's been going on since a time immemorial that we've been taking births in material bodies. If you took all those bodies together and you piled them up, all the bones from those bodies, you piled them up, just from one living entity in this world, it would block out the sun. So this is the idea. Do you remember that? You told me that. Yeah. So there's also an ocean of tears that's filled up this world. So when Chitraketu and his wife came and saw that their son was dead, they couldn't remain conscious. They became insane with misery, so distressed. They fainted, and then they'd get back up again. They'd wake back up again, and they'd faint again. And they'd get back up and faint again. And so much misery to see that their son had died. And they were wailing and wailing and wailing. And that's when the sage came back, and he brought his friend with him. It was Narada and Angira who came. And at this time, they knew that King Chitraketu would be ready to hear some spiritual instruction. Before, he was kind of hopeful that just give me something. I can be happy. But now, he was in an abject state of unhappiness and had given up any hope of his happiness because his only son had died. And now he was able to take some spiritual instruction. Sometimes it's like that too. When we're in the most miserable state, when we feel we've lost everything, then we become more receptive. So sometimes Krishna makes an arrangement like that for devotees to take some things away. So it gets our attention. And so what he did was a special thing to preach to Chitraketu was this great sage Angira was able to bring the soul back into the body of this little baby temporarily by his mystic power. So he did that, and then he told that little jiva in the baby body, he said, "Why have you left prematurely like this? Look at all the misery you're causing to your parents." And the little soul in that baby's body looked out into the world, and he looked up and he said, "Which mother and father? I've had billions. Which one are these?" And then he began to talk about how I'm traveling from one place to another. And all these different connections that we think are real, they're actually very temporary. Even Hiranyakashipu, he preached to his parents after the death of Hiranyaka. And he compared it to people who meet at a restaurant. You come in and, you know, you gather around the table at Chuck E. Cheese. No, not Chuck E. Cheese. You gather around the table at some high-class establishment and you make friends with people. And you have some libations and talk and, you know, exchange card friends. And then you get up and you go your own separate ways. So he said, it's that temporary. Our relations in this world where we think mother, father, grandfather, grandmother, this is my son, my daughter, all these people actually, the very temporary context that we have in this world, in the Bhagavatam, is compared to sea foam. And one wave comes up, some bubbles come together. They're at the crest of the wave. Then when it crashes, they all break apart and they go in different directions. So the relationships that we covet and that we cherish so much in this world, they're very temporary. And we never actually see the real force behind the body. We mistake it all the time. Until death comes, then everyone goes, "Wait a minute, what happened? What happened? Ram Nam Satyahe, Ram Nam Satyahe." Down the street with the procession, I saw, you know, it wakes you up when you see a procession. So I saw in Vrindavan one night, I was going down the street during Kartik, and there was a funeral going by, and they carry the body on a palanquin. And then you look in and you can see the body there. And everyone's, you know, chanting, Ram Nam Satyahe. Only the name of Ram is eternal. And then, you know, you see the body and the soul's gone, and it's like a magic trick. One minute they're there, next minute they're not there. It's really drastic. All of a sudden, you know, all the power, all the force, all the intelligence, all the talent, everything's gone. And I never saw who was really there. So Chitraketu, this knowledge started to come into his heart because, you know, the powerful preaching of Angira and Narada, they were showing him how the soul is just separated from the body. And that's the real force behind the body. And it's transmigrating from one place to another. The whole science is there in the Bhagavad Gita, how Krishna tells what's really going on. Shariram yadavapnoti yachchat yukramatishvara grihitvaitani samnyati vayurgandam ibhashayat. He said, just like when the wind blows across a field, it picks up the scent of the field. If there's flowers there, it smells like flowers. If there's garbage there, it smells like garbage. And then the soul, it's like that. According to its consciousness at the time it leaves the body, it gets outfitted for another body. It goes on perpetually like that. The life is eternal, but the body is temporary. And if we identify with the body, then again, we accept so many conditions. And this is conditioned life. One after another, we accept a body, another condition, and so many conditions. And if you say, oh, you know, there's death in this world, it's that. It comes along with life. You just have to accept it. You know, we become conditioned to accept it. It's like a baby elephant. They take a baby elephant, and who's they? These people who keep elephants. They put a big chain around its hind leg. It's like a steel band, a shackle, and it's on a huge chain, and then it's in a stake in the ground. The little baby elephant could never pull it out of the ground. And they leave it on there for about 6 to 9 months when the baby's just young. And then later on, they just take it off, and they put a little string. And the whole rest of the time, throughout its life, the elephant thinks, I can't get away. Huh? And so we think that too, you know, it's like, well, we got to die, and, you know, comes along birth, disease, old age, comes along with this body, you know, this is just who I am, we accept the body. But Chitraketu was enlightened by the preaching of these great sages. And similarly, Gajendra, in this position where we talked about being helpless, where we're being dragged down, and then we realize that I could lose everything now. I could lose my life. And where am I going? What's going to happen? This helpless position. Gajendra was in that position. And he had practiced devotional service in his previous life. This is the power of devotional service. That you get this power from the Lord. If you practice and you try and you say to the Lord, I'm very helpless. I can't do this on my own. There's so many obstacles, so many material desires that I have, but please help me. We pray to Nityananda Prabhu like this. See, Nityananda Prabhu is the mercy manifestation of the Lord. And he comes to help us. This is the idea of Nityananda, that he comes to this world to help us. In our heart he comes. And he comes in the form of spiritual master to teach us externally. And from within he guides us. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajitam prittipurvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam jainamam upayantite. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that for those who sincerely try to find me and who try to render some service to me, even if it's very simple, even if it's saying, my Lord, I'm your eternal servant, please help me. That's how simple bhakti yoga is. All you have to say is, I'm helpless, I'm drowning, please save me. This is the whole process of bhakti yoga. Please help me. Then he says, I direct them from within the heart. From within the heart, I give direction. Actually, Krishna's there. This is Nityananda, his mercy. He expands himself to save the living entities in this world. So Gajendra was in that position. He was being dragged down by the crocodile. And then because of his previous practice of devotional service, in his previous life, he had practiced singing to the Lord. Every day he sang to the Lord. This is why we emphasize how we should come together, some regulation every day. You chant Hare Krishna. It's the best song you can sing. When Ramananda Roy and Lord Chaitanya were speaking, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Ramananda Roy, what's the best song? And he said, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. These songs about Radha and Krishna, about the spiritual world. So in his previous life, as a king, Indradumna, he had sung this song over and over again, and he had practiced it, and it had spiritual power to it. So in his next life, when he became an elephant, you know how he became an elephant?
He was cursed.
He was cursed, yes. Who was he cursed by?
He didn't receive him well.
So he said, you become, in your next life, because you didn't receive me well, you become like a dumb animal. You become an elephant or something like that. But because of his practice in his previous life when he was King Indrajumna, in his next life it carried over. This is the power of spiritual life. It carries over. Whatever we do in this life, we take it up to the next, in the next life, to whatever degree we've taken it. That's why we see some people come in this life and they take up at a high level right when they start off, right? So Gajendra was like that. And now he, even though he was an elephant body and he was under great distress, from this crocodile pulling him down into the water, he was about to die. He felt he was struggling for the last breath of his life. And so out from his elephant mouth came this song that he had learned in his previous life, and you know, he didn't even know what it was. He didn't even remember what it was exactly or who it was to. But because it was carried over from his last life, he began to sing this song to the Lord, whom he didn't even know exactly. So as he sung, it attracted the attention of the Lord, and who came down in his carrier Garuda. And he saved him. He swooped down. Krishna is the savior of the living entities who pray to him. And he swooped down, and with his disc, he cut off the head of the crocodile. He dragged them both out of the water. He cut off the head of the crocodile and liberated the crocodile, actually, who was also in a bind from his previous life. And he liberated Gajendra. And so these stories are there in the Srimad Bhagavatam to remind us that over and over again that don't take shelter in this world. Asyatyeri, it's temporary, it's flickering. There's no real shelter here, but there's shelter at the feet of Lord Nityananda. And that means that the Lord comes and he avails himself and gives us the opportunity to take shelter of him. And just a little bit of practice like that, it can save one from the greatest fear, Krishna says. Neha bikramanasho sti pratyavayo navidyate su'alpam. He says su'alpam. Even if it's a tiny start, even a little bit of attention towards our spiritual life, it can save us from maha bhayat, the greatest fear, which is that we've come all this way and then we lose it. So intelligent people who hear this say, then why don't I invest more than a little bit? And Shastra says, you can invest everything. You know, why not? Like sometimes we say when we go out to meet people and we offer them the opportunity to take home one of these literatures, like a Bhagavad Gita. And, just by reading a little bit of Bhagavad Gita, Parvati and Lord Shiva were talking about this, the glories of the Bhagavad Gita. And they were saying, Lord Shiva was saying, just by reading one chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, know one shloka from the Bhagavad Gita, know one half a shloka, know one quarter of a shloka, one word from a shloka of Bhagavad Gita, one's life can become perfect. So we say, yes, and if you'd like to also donate something, then they also get great benefit. They give something in return to help spread spiritual knowledge. And some people say, well, how much should I give? And we say sometimes, well, some people give their whole lives. You just give the most you can. So we give the most that we can. Those who understand this principle that life is temporary and that how merciful God is, that the real investment is in taking shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, then they begin to divest themselves as best as possible, best they possibly can, of responsibilities to so many responsibilities we can create in this world. And they begin to try to get more and more responsibilities to serving Krishna, to surrendering to Krishna. And then that's real wealth. Then we have real shelter. And for the devotee who has taken shelter like that and who is fully focused on spiritual life, then Krishna says, rest assured that I will deliver that person from the ocean of birth and death, from this samsara. And especially if we follow the footsteps of the great acharyas, of the great teachers who have shown the path previously. The demigods who were praying to Lord Krishna in the womb said that there is a way in which we can really make the process of spiritual life very easy. We don't have to concoct anything. We don't have to make it up. It's not a speculative matter of how to become spiritually advanced. They said, follow the previous sages. Mahat Kritena, they called it. What the previous Mahats, the great souls have done, Kritena, do what they've done and follow what they've done. Now what happens is these great souls who are unusually powerful in spiritual life, they encapsulize the essence of spiritual life and they practice it themselves. And the reason they encapsulate, they make it simple, is so that they themselves can go back to Godhead. But also, they leave behind them the process, which becomes like a boat, the Bhagavatam says in poetical languages. It's a boat that can also carry us across. So when they cross into the spiritual world from this temporary world, they leave behind them a boat. And that boat is the instructions that they leave behind and the process that they showed. So if we simply take the process of the previous sages, Bhagavatam says, Bejire muniyotagre bhagavantam adhoksajam sattvam shuram shemaya kalpante yenutaniha. Previously, all the great sages worshipped Lord Vishnu in order to obtain the highest benefit. There's no higher benefit you can get in life than to worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, who is beyond this material world. He's adhoksaja, he's infallible. He's not tinged by the material modes at all. And if you worship him, you'll achieve the highest benefit. There's no higher benefit. You can't get a higher benefit by working for Microsoft or Google or who else?
Microsoft.
I said Microsoft.
Yahoo.
Cisco.
Price Waterhouse.
Does anybody have a better deal? No, because the Rupa Goswami quotes this verse. He says, how many ways and for how long have I served bad masters? I've served them, and what do I get in return? No time off. I don't get any bonuses. And at the end, they just leave me. Leave me for dead, really. He's talking about the senses, really, that are bad masters. But serving in this material world, really, there are no real good masters. Krishna is the best master. We're meant to follow him and serve him. So these sages, they understood this, that the highest benefit in life comes from serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not from taking any other service. And Krishna recommends this in the Bhagavad Gita. He says, sarva dharman parityaja mamekam sharanam braja ahantam sarva papi bhyo moksha shami masucha. He said, feel safe to give up all other kinds of engagements and just work for me. Just surrender to me because I'll deliver you. I will save you. So, Bejare Munio Tagre Bhagavantam Adhoksajam Satvam Bishuram Shemaya. Shemaya means the highest benefit. Kalpante Yenutaniha. We should see what those sages have done previously, the great sages, and follow them. Anu means to follow. So, now this verse says something very special, that you may not be qualified for all these things. It doesn't matter. If you simply follow what they did, you get the same result that they got. That's the mercy of the great acharyas and teachers, that they leave behind a process that we can follow, that they showed how to follow. And even if we're not qualified, even if we can't do it properly, if we try to follow it, we will get the same benefit by their mercy. That's the boat. That's what takes us across this material world. So Nityananda Prabhu, that's his prerogative. That's what he does. He comes as the spiritual master. And he offers this boat back to Godhead in a very simple way, with great mercy for those who want to go back home, back to Godhead. And so, like in the Bible, it says, there's a very simple phrase. It says, ask, and what?
Shall receive.
Everyone knows that one. Ask, and you shall receive. It's very simple. So, what's the lack? The only thing is asking. That's the main thing. All we have to do is ask. We're helpless. We really can't get anything on our own. Everything, you know, even from the material side, is being supplied by material nature. It's coming from God through some arrangement. And we can't get more than we're allotted, said Narada Muni. You may work 3 extra jobs and you're still going to get what you got before. And even if you get more, you're going to lose it. And even if you don't work 3 jobs and you deserve more, you're going to get it anyway. So why work so hard? So the fact of the matter is that we're fully dependent on the Lord. And if we take shelter of Him, then we'll not lack for anything. So Nityananda Prabhu, this is His Divine Appearance Day. And it's a very, on a very basic level, we should understand and meditate on the fact that this body, this life, all our relations here, everything we have is flickering and temporary, asatyari, and it can go at any second. Just like diving in the Ganga, it's a happy day, you're there on pilgrimage, and Narhari Dev Prabhu jumped in the Ganga, and all of a sudden he was about to drown. He almost drowned. It was very close, and probably going through your mind all these things, like, I don't know what, but I can only imagine. You know, everything gone. What am I going to do now? How embarrassing. I'm dying right here, right now. Or whatever. You know, so that's going to happen to all of us. Whatever position we're in now, we're going to lose it. It's going to go away. Asatyari. This is the Bhagavatam's telling us, the Bhagavad Gita's telling us, the great sages and sadhus are coming and saying, don't invest here. Don't take stock in this material world. Take stock at the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda. And in this song, Srila Prabhupada's pointing out that Narottam Das is saying that don't think that they're the same thing as the promises that you get in the material world. And look at, we take it for granted now. Coke, it's the real thing in the back of your mind. What you're hoping to find, it's the real thing. See, I'm conditioned. I grew up with this stuff. I heard this from the time I was a little kid. Coke, Coca-Cola, what is it? It's sugar water. They're selling sugar water, and they said, it's the real thing. In the back of my mind, it's what I'm hoping to find. It's the real thing. It's like, you know, so he's saying in the song, don't think it's like that. That there's some, you know, little jingle going on that's like, yeah, Coca-Cola, it's the real thing. You know, it's like, wow, this is the real thing. It's what I was hoping to find in the back of my mind. Coca-Cola. It's an illusion. Coca-Cola's an illusion. It came into existence a few years ago, and it's got this image around the world that it's some American thing. And, you know, some people, and then other people, they smoke Marlboro cigarettes. Why? Because it's got a cowboy on the pack. It tastes just as bad as Pall Mall and all the other cigarettes. It does. But it's got a cowboy on the front. You know, the cowboy's like, hey, you know? The first Marlboro man died of cancer, and he sued Marlboro. Yeah, it was a big thing, and they shut him down fast because they're rich as Croesus. They have so much money. But they probably, and all over the world, people smoke Marlboro cigarettes. Why? Because there's a cowboy in the pack. It's illusion. It's complete illusion. And the whole world's going on like this. In the Bhagavatams, it's the world of names. You know, these names come in and images, and we think, we identify with it. So our whole body, our whole existence is like that. It's temporary, asatyari. So in this song, he's saying, don't think Nityananda's like that. This is substantial. If you can get shelter there, if you can get a little bit of connection to Lord Nityananda, you'll experience what the Bhagavad Gita says, yam labham chaparam labham. Said, you'll experience a happiness where you think, there's no greater gain than this. I can't gain anymore. On the material side, whatever you get, it's always insufficient. It always could have been more, should have been more, or you lose it and you don't get it. But don't think that Lord Ananda is like that. His lotus feet, his process, if you get that, then you're actually wealthy. You're a wealthy person. So like Gajendra, you know, whatever we do in this lifetime, Prabhupada actually says in his explanation of the in the story of Gajendra, we should practice like anything in this life. Like anything. We should make as much time as we can in our life to put on the ledger side towards the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, to practice staying in connection with him. And he says specifically a couple of things. Prabhupada mentions there that you should chant daily the Brahma Samhita. He said, because if you chant a prayer like Brahma Samhita, you know, it becomes part of you. Instead of Coke, it's the real thing in the back of your mind. And if you come every Saturday morning, for instance, to this class we have on Saturday morning at 7:30. It starts at 7:30. And then you start chanting the Brahma Samhita, and you get this impression. The sun's just coming up, Satyadev's here, the deities are beautiful. You know, it's a certain setting. Those who have been here at 7:30 to chant the Brahma Samhita together, you feel this Govindamari Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. It gets in you. That's what's in you now, and that's transcendental sound vibration from the spiritual world that can deliver you from. So Prabhupada said, you should practice chanting a stotram like this every day. Because he said, look at Gajendra. Previous life he was a king, next life he was an elephant. But he remembered the stotram he had practiced in his previous life. He also mentions the Nisringa stotram. But all these verses, they're meant to save us. These are a lifeline, and especially chanting Hare Krishna. We should practice every which way we can to chant Hare Krishna and to battle against the mind, which is always trying to take us away from this. Was that Govinda Mari Purusham on there?
Yeah.
Did you do that on purpose? Well, if you did it on purpose, you don't have to buy a Shri Upanishad. If your phone goes off in the class, it costs $5, you got to buy a Shri Upanishad. But since it was Govinda Mari Purusham and we just talked about it, I guess it's okay. So, anyway, we're gathered here for this reason, to take shelter of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. We may not understand esoterically exactly who Nityananda Prabhu is, but Prabhupada, when he preaches about Nityananda Prabhu, he preaches in a very simple, basic way to understand that God is the power behind our lives. He's supplying everything, our life, our intelligence, and when it goes away from the body, then there's nothing left. It's just matter. So what matters? Not matter. Because if we weren't there to observe matter, then matter wouldn't matter. It doesn't matter. What matters is the soul that comes from God. It's that power, that Nityananda, Balaram, the spiritual strength. So we may not understand all the esoteric facts about Balaram and his Leela. On the way down to the memorial service yesterday, we read the story from the Krishna book about Lord Balaram going to Vrindavan and meeting with Nanda and Yashoda and all the residents of Vrindavan and the gopis and everything. And frankly, it's a little esoteric to understand exactly who that, you know, personality is and all his relationships and things like that. Maybe for a higher realized person. But we can understand this, that material life is temporary and miserable, and that at any minute we can be asked to leave this world, and that the intelligent person will take shelter of spiritual life. And if you're a little discriminating and you study the process carefully, you can find out that there is a preponderance of evidence that will show you that this process given through the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all these literatures are there for us to study. If you look at Srimad Bhagavatam, you can find that the most sophisticated poetry in the universe, bar none. You won't find the poetry that's in the Sanskrit, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, anywhere else, in any other world literature. The power of that poetry and the subtlety of the philosophy that is explained there. The Bhagavad Gita that's been read for hundreds, thousands of years now, and is still the most current book in the world for anyone who will pick it up, every time they pick it up, because the words are ever fresh. And great philosophers have studied it over and over again and say, it's as deep as the ocean. I can't find the bottom of this. Over and over. These are the words of God. If you look at the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is in our line here, everyone that's here that's coming for this kind of sangha and for this kind of knowledge, you should have all these things. You should have the Srimad Bhagavatam. Keep it in your house, even if you don't have to have time to read the whole thing. Read one word or one verse, but keep it in your house. It is the greatest literature on the planet. And the Chaitanya Charitamrita is even a more distilled essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam, given by these great practitioners who followed the Srimad Bhagavatam. And having those literatures and making some time to look into them, you'll find the greatest philosophy in the world to convince the mind that, yes, this is the process. I should follow this. I should. Jiva Goswami, arguably the greatest scholar who ever lived, ever, just by any standard, not just as it's saying from the side of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, but we won't go into all the details, but if you look into it for yourself, you'll find that. And in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he implores us, he says, just look for yourself. Study how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami, and look at his philosophy and find out for yourself that this is the greatest, most merciful teaching and incarnation of the Lord ever. And if we become convinced of that, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, then you become dridhavrata. You become determined to take up spiritual life. And this great determination comes from Balaram, this strength to say, you know, I'm going to take up spiritual life. We can't get it on our own. We need mercy. It has to come down from a superior source. You know, to be able to follow four regulative principles, very difficult in the age of Kali Yuga. Very difficult. Those who are able to follow four regulative principles strictly in this age of Kali Yuga, they're empowered. It's an empowered thing. We should strive for it. And to be able to have a taste for chanting Hare Krishna and for hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, these are empowered activities. These are liberated activities. And this comes from the mercy of Lord Balaram, the mercy of Lord Nityananda. So we have no recourse other than to pray for the mercy of Lord Nityananda. Comes through the Vaishnavas. He's represented as the spiritual master. Those who are actually advanced in life, they surrender themselves to a Vaishnav, to an actual Vaishnav, someone who is 100% engaged in devotional service. Recommendation is to become a dog of a Vaishnav. Otherwise, we're a dancing dog under the spell of Maya. Illusion makes us dance in all kinds of ways we don't want to dance. Why did I do that? Maya made me do it. I couldn't stop myself. Only recourse, we have to become surrendered to a Vaishnav and actually become the dog of a Vaishnav. And Prabhupada certified that. That's why we wear a collar. This is a collar. What's that for? It's my collar, my dog collar. I'm the dog of a Vaishnav. And if we think like that, if we put ourselves under the care of a Vaishnav of great significance, who's a guru, who's weighty, who's powerful with dridhavrita, who's taken this as their life and soul, and we could fix our mind in that way and say, what's my goal in life? Take shelter here under the care of a Vaishnav. Then we actually have safety in life. Otherwise, there's no safety. Anything can happen, and all bets are off, because you can be blown any which way by the material nature. So this is a great, happy day that we're able to all come here and chant the names of Lord Nityananda Prabhu and hear from the Shastra about the pastimes of the great personality of Godhead who comes to this world to save us. And we're also fortunate because we've been given some service to actually participate in this mission of saving ourselves and saving others by giving out the information that's being passed down through this disciplic line that's coming from the spiritual world. We celebrated this weekend and brought an offering for Lord Nityananda Prabhu today of the hard work that all of us did for distributing Krishna consciousness over the weekend. Actually going out and meeting people for the first time. They've never met us. They didn't ask to meet us. They didn't call up and say, I'd like to meet you down on Pacific Avenue in Santa Cruz. We just showed up and we met them anyway. And in front of Walmarts and all kinds of other places. So this is also the great pastime of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, to go from village to village, house to house, and to give people an opportunity to intervene in their lives and to give them the names of Krishna and to give them the names of Lord Gauranga so that they get the greatest benefit in life. So we didn't come empty-handed. Again, we all went out and did some service so that we could bring that fruit, that result, and offer it to Lord Nityananda Prabhu today in his service. Right, Raksha Prabhu? Yes. We have it all ready to go. Not right now, but... So, those are just a few thoughts about this song and some of the things that I had been thinking about over the last couple of days in relationship to this wonderful day of Lord Nityananda's appearance. Nityananda Trayodasi.